It should be enough. All right, just wanted to go through this inyan a little bit so that it'll be better understood. And there are a lot of details in the halachos of saying Kaddish that we could spend a lot of time on it. I'm not necessarily interested in spending so much time. Maybe we'll do one or two units over the course of the rest of the summer on this inyan. And if you guys have other inyanim you want to talk about that come up, or stam, or I have plenty of inyanim I wouldn't mind speaking about, so you let me know, and we'll take it from there. Okay, so for starters, the concept of saying Kaddish is not really mentioned anywhere in the Gemara. So it leads some people to believe that it was a minhag that developed after the Gemara, but it's not really 100% accurate, because there are Gemaras that reference clearly to the fact that they were saying something that was like Kaddish. Two Gemaras that I'm aware of that reference it is, if you take a look, there's a sugya at the beginning of Maseches Brachos, Gimel Med Aleph, from the first source. So Eliyahu Navi was once speaking to another copy. You sure? Okay. So Eliyahu Navi was once speaking to one of the Amoraim, and then he said to him, he was in a churva, and he says, Bini, Amarli Bini, my son, ma kol shamata b'churvazu, what voice did you hear in this churva? V'amarti los, I said back to Eliyahu Navi, shamati bas kol shemenahemes ki yonav omeres oy levonim shavonoseinim echaravti as besi v'sarafti as hechali v'glisem levein ha'umos. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, woe is to me that I destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and I sent my children into Golos. And said Eliyahu Navi back, Chayecha v'chayeroshcha, which is Lashon Shvu, I swear, Lo sha zu bilvad omeres kach, it's not just this time that you heard it, Ela v'chol yom v'yom shalosh pamim omeres came. Says it three times a day. V'lo zu bilvad, Ela b'shash Yisrael nechnasin levate knesios levate midrashos. V'onin yehe shmei hagadol mevarach, Kadosh Baruch Hu minanei rosho va'omer Ashrei Emel shemekalsim asol beveso kach. So when Kadosh Baruch Hu hears the Jewish people going into, and it says bate knesios uvate midrashos, both in shuls and in beis medrash, meaning so we know certainly in the times of the Gemara that people davened in shuls and they learned in a beis medrash. They didn't usually do both. Although the Gemara says that there was an inyan if you were a person who learned in the beis medrash on a regular basis, so there's an inyan to dafka daven in the beis medrash where you learn. Question is that a din in kedushas beis hamedrash? Is that a din in bittul Torah? So that's a question. But lemaisa, there most of the time the Jewish people davened where they davened, which was a beis haknesses, and also so you could suggest that this Gemara is referring to a Kaddish that was said in a Beis HaKnesses and a Kaddish that was said in a Beis HaMedrash. I don't want to, you know, go too far and to say that there were different Kaddishes that this Gemara is referring to, but let's assume for argument's sake we're talking about something that happened during davening. Right? So when they would go into the Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaMedrash, and they would say, Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevarach, right? Which nowadays we say Yehei Shmei Rabba. Right, but you see clearly there was this inyan even in the times of the Gemara that people answered Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba to something, and which is, as we know, the Iker Tachlis of saying Kaddish is to get people to answer Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba. So Hashem nods his head and he says Ashrei Amelech Shemekalsin Oso Beveso Kach. Fortunate is the king who is praised in his house in such a way. Right, and Malo La'av Shehigla Ezbana V'Oylahem Levanim Shegalu Me'al Shulchan Avim. So, and what can a father do who has sent away his children? And woe is to the children who have been sent away from their father's table. So you see that not only was there an inyan to say Amen Yeshmi Rabba in those days, but also that it was something that Hashem likes very, very much, and it makes him, quote-unquote, regret sending us into Golis. All right, so take a look at the Tosos over there, something I referenced yesterday in terms of what's the pshat in the Kaddish, and what does it mean? The first part of the Tosos, I didn't speak about it. What does it mean, Yehei Shmei Rabba? There's two cute explanations. One explanation of the Tosos is that Shmei is just Aramaic for Shemo, right? So it says Yehei Shmei Rabba. That's mashma from this text of the Gemara. It's machlokes. If you look in the Gemara here, there's different girsos amongst the those who change the girsos. So some have the girsa of Yehei Shmei, and some have the girsa of Yehei Shmo. So Tosfos has the girsa of Shmei. So he said that's a raya that Shmei is just, you know, his name in Aramaic. But there's another shita that says no, it's Yehei Shmo Hagadol And it's not Shmei HaGadol, it's the fact that it says HaGadol instead of Rabbah, because the other Shita is that Yehei Shmei Rabbah, Shmei is not Aramaic for Shmo. Shmei is Shem Yud-Hei. It's the words Shem Yud-Hei. And then Yehei Shmei Rabbah. So what on earth does that mean? That we know there's a comment that the Torah makes at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, Ki Yod Al Kes Ka, that the hand of Amalek is on the Kisei of Hashem, it's on the chair of Hashem, but it doesn't say Kisei, it says case, right? And it doesn't say Yud Kei Vav Kei, it says Yud Hei, right? Why? Because the Medrash says that both the shame of Hashem, the name of Hashem, and the Kisei of Hashem, meaning that not only is Hashem's name, but also Hashem's rulership will never be complete, calls man that Amalek is in the world. So when we say Yehei Shmei Rabbah, it's actually a different pshat altogether. Yehei Shmei Rabbah, and Yehei Shmo HaGadol. So if you have that hey in the girsa, so that sounds like Hashem's great name, right? That's what Shmei Rabbah means, his great name, or Shmo HaGadol. Right, but says Tosfos, there's another day out there that says you hold Shmei Rabbah means that the Shem Yud Hey, which is only half of the name of Hashem, should become Rabbah, should become great. Meaning we should go back to the time where there's going to be a Geula, and therefore the name of Hashem will no longer be Yud Hey; it'll be Yud Kei Vav Kei. Right? What's the difference between Yud Hey, right, half the name versus the whole name? So Yud Hey refers to Hashem up there, right? Vav-Hei refers to Hashem down here. So we know that Kol Zman, that Amalek is in the world, or evil is allowed to exist in this world, he's the God up there, but he's not necessarily the God down here, the Poel. He's not really running the show the way the whole world recognizes him, etc. So that's why we want Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. We want the full effect of Hashem's rulership, right? Masha'en-Kein. Right, Masha'en Kein, nowadays we only have the Yud-Hei. We only have the fact that Hashem is the God. We know He's the God of everything, but Lamaisa B'Pol, He's only the God in heaven. He's not the God of earth, because there is too much evil going on in this world. There's too many people who rebel against Him in this world. So therefore, we're davening. We say, I mean, Yeshmei Rabbah, that should come a time where Hashem's name is full. And that fits in nicely with the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Yeshmei Rabbah has something to do with the Geula, has to do with Hashem bringing us back to Yerushalayim. Hashem feels bad that He sent us into Golus, etc. So therefore, He wants to bring us back. When He hears us say Yeshmei Rabbah, that drives Him to try to bring us back from the Golus. So His name could finally be Yashem Echad or Shmo Echad, right? That Hashem will be one, and His name will be one also, right? Okay. Maisa, that's one source in the Gemara for the fact that he used to say Kaddish in those days. Also, you have the Gemara in Sota, Mem Testament Aleph, it says, the Ella Alma Mai Kamakai. What is the middle of a bigger discussion? What holds up the world? What's the world sustaining itself on? A Kedusha de Sidra, talking about Kedusha de Sidra, which is the Kaddish that we say. The Kedusha that we say in Avolat Zion, right? As well as Yehei Shmei Rabbah D'Agadata, the Yehei Shmei Rabbah that we say in the Kaddish when we say Agadata. Shenemar, right, he quotes a Pasuk, right, that tries to bring this point out. But Lamaisa, the Kedusha de Sidra, we see that they used to say that even back then, and also they used to say Kaddish after Agadata. So I saw some that wanted to suggest that that's what it means, the Kaddish that they say in the Bate Midrashos. The Kaddish on the Agadita was when the Baal Batim used to come to the Beis Medrash, they would want to say a Kaddish after they were finished learning Agadita, and therefore they would say Kaddish, what we call Kaddish Derabbanan, right? Why is it called Kaddish Derabbanan as opposed to Kaddish Deraisa? So why is it called Kaddish Derabbanan? So it says the Kaddish Derabbanan means that it's the Kaddish that we say after we learn Agadita, after we learn Milei Derabbanan, that we learn, the drushes of Chazal. So that's why when you want to say, after you have a shir, you want to say Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, because if it was a halacha shir, so then you don't want it, that you're not really allowed to say Kaddish on that. So you have to say some Milei D'Agadita that will be Machai of the person to say a Kaddish on the Agadita. It's considered a chashiv thing that the Amei Aretz would come to learn Agadita. They wouldn't come to the halacha shir, because halacha shir was too, esoteric. But they would come to hear a good drasha. So they came to hear the, and they want to be mezaken them after the fact in a kaddish. So they could say Amin Yeshmei Rabbah at that point. So you see, it was a big zechus to say that Yesh Me Rabbah, it would hold up the world. Okay, so these are just points that that we're talking about something which is, you know, pre-Talmudic. That when we talk about Kaddish, we're talking specifically about something that which was being said in some format or another in the times of the Gemara as well. It wasn't something that just popped up in the times of the Gaonim or the Rishonim, etc. It's clearly being said in the times of the Gemara. Nevertheless, Kaddish Yasom is something that comes later. Meaning, so what are we talking about in Kaddish Yasom? So, for start, before we even get to the Kaddish Yasom, sorry, just one little word about the regular Kaddish. If you look in source number 3, the tour, so he says, Yiskadal v'yiskadash, Husad al pi hamikra v'hiskadilti v'hiskadishti, ha'amur v'mochemes gogu magog. Right, so the words of the Navi Yechezkel are talking about hiskadilti v'hiskadishti when it's describing the war of Gog u'Magog. She'az yiskadol shmo she'akadosh baruch hu dichsib ayomo yeshem akadosh mochad. So again, this is more a way to understand why the Kaddish is referring to la'asid lavo, talking about the geula, that we specifically refer to these times in the future where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name will be complete and we'll see the Yad Hashem in the world. So this is the basis for the idea of saying Kaddish in general. But that doesn't really have anything to do with mourners. It doesn't have anything to do with Yisomim saying Kaddish. So where does this business of Yisomim saying Kaddish come from? So that's actually a much later minhag than the Gemara itself. There's no description of it in the Gemara, but there are a couple of midrashim. There's some very similar midrashim. I never really know what to do when you have, let's say, three or four midrashim that all tell, they're clearly all telling the same story. They just tell it with certain variations and different characters. So I never really know what to do with that. But this is the one that made it into the Kolbo, and not just the Kolbo, a couple of those of the other Ashkenazi halacha rishonim. What are the other? Arzarua has it, and besides Arzarua, there's Kolbo, there's Arzarua, and there's at least one other one that has it. I forgot. What? I no, before the Orchus Chaim, I think. But okay, well, nice. So they're, it's in a few of the different Ashkenazi Rishonim who used to write halachas for him. So. But here's the actual Tana de Baleo. But there's a different variation of this story that involves Rabbi Akiva. But this one involves Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Either way, it's all the same story, and certainly it has the same message. So what is it? It says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Pamacha Sayisi Mahalich Baderech." I was once walking down the road. Matsasi Adam Echad Shu Malakate Eitzim. There was a guy who was collecting wood. Dibarti Lo Davar Velo Hichser Li. I spoke to him, but he didn't answer me. Va'achar Kach Boy Alive Amar Li Ani Meis Velo Chai. I'm a dead person. I'm not alive. Amarti lo imesata eitzim lamo. So what do you need the wood for if you're dead? Omar li, Rebbe, hazin li atche omer lecha davar echad. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you something. Kesha yisi chay ani v'chaveri v'paltri hayinu oskim. Kesha banu kan gazru aleinu gzardin sreifa. Kesha ani malaket eitzim sorfen es chaverai. Kesha hu malaket eitzim sorfen osi. So what do we do? Basically, I was a Rasha during my lifetime. I had a partner. We were both Rishayim. And we were both paskined in Shamayim, in the heavenly court, that we're going to be Chayiv Sereifa. Yeah, but that's why if you're ever Chayiv Misa, the best possible scenario is to get it in this world. Because this is a longer discussion, but what does it mean that a tzaddik gets his reward in this world, gets his reward in the next world, and a Rasha gets his punishment in the next world, versus a Rasha gets his reward in this world? Right, so what does it mean? It means that, isn't that like a little bit of sheker? Meaning, if the next world is so much better, why do we bother, giving any reward in this world? Or is it even fair to the Russia to give his reward in this world? Right, you understand what I'm asking? So the answer is, it's really not unfair, it's just two sides of a coin. Meaning, everything in this world is finite. Everything in the next world is infinite. So by definition, when something happens, in the same exact event, when it takes place in this world, it takes place, it's the MS that it's the same thing that would take place in the next world. It's exactly the same, it's just, the translation into the infinite world makes that the infinite version of it. Right, you guys ever learn Nefesh HaChaim? So whatever, in the early stages of Nefesh HaChaim, he goes through this idea about how things that we do in this world reverberate through the upper worlds until they finally find their way in front of the Kisei HaKavod in their infinite format. But it's not, it's not sheker. It's not that one is more fake or one is more real than the other. They're both legit. She's just, in the finite world, it takes the form out of the finite, and in the infinite world, it takes its form in a different form. A bad mashal for this would be, you know, if you're in the United States of America and you're making $7,000 a year, you are living well below the poverty line. But if you move to Puerto Rico and you're making $7,000 a year, you're making a good living. So it's the same $7,000, but it goes a lot further in Puerto Rico than it does in the United States. Right? There's certain countries, you know, remember when, I don't know if it's still true, but when guys my age used to go to the either the March of the Living or the Heritage or whatever they call it nowadays, where they go to Poland, I think it was 50,000 zlotys to a dollar. Right? So a dollar was worth 50,000 of something. Now, 50,000 zlotys, you think, oh wow, give me 50,000 anything, it's not worth very much. But Lemaisa, that's, you know, a dollar is a dollar. A dollar is also 50,000. So it depends where you are and what you're doing with it at the time and what it's worth in the time and place that you're at. But it's the same stuff. You understand? So that's what it means. To get reward in this world, let's say you got a reward, which is Gilu, 1,000 reward points. So you get 1,000 reward points in Olam Hazeh, or you get 1,000 reward points in Olam Haba. But 1,000 reward points in Olam Hazeh is 1,000, and 1,000 reward points in Olam Haba is 1,000 infinite reward points. But it's the same 1,000. It's just time and place. So this guy got Sreifa, but he got Sreifa in Olam Haba, which means every day, for an infinite number of days, they were burning him at the stake. So that's unfortunate. So you'd much rather get Sreifa once, and then you're done. Then if you get Sreifa and Olam Hazeh, you get Sreifa and Olam Haba. It's the same punishment, just one's the infinite version. So you don't want that. So this fellow was telling Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, every single day I have to schlep wood, I have to collect it, and then I burn my friend and he burns me. Right? In the Rabbi Akiva version of the story, I think he collected the wood to burn himself, and the Malachim would throw him into the fire. Either way, it was no fun. So what happens? Amarti lo dinchem ad masai. So he says, when is your justice up? When's your judgment up? Amarli kishabasi lakan anachti ishti meuberes v'yodeya sheani shezocherhu. When I got to this place, my wife was pregnant, and I know I had a son. B'vakashim imcha hevi zohir bo mishoshenolad ad sheyia ben chameshanim holichu lebeis rabo lemikra. Right, so we're saying that when he's 5 years old, take him to learning yeshiva, and then when he's old enough to say Baruch Hu, they're going to take me out of Gehenna. Meaning, so what do you see from this medrash? That there is an inyan that when a child says Dvarim Shemikdusha, when a child says Baruch Hu, and everyone answers Baruch Hashem Baruch Olam Baruch. I'm getting mixed up. So everybody's going to answer to that Dabar Shebekdusha. So that has a tremendous effect and a big zechus for the parent, that they then take the parent out of Gehenna. Okay, so that's one of the sources. And if you look in the Kolbo, so he quotes a very similar idea. Rabbi Ploni, right? He has a different version of the story. There are a number of versions throughout the different midrashim. So he says a certain rabbi found the mace, and but it's clearly the same story. And he told him they're going to burn him in Gehenna. So what does he say to what's going on? Amar lo ein mishi atzileni im lo sheyomar bini kaddish. So if you look on the third line, his version of the midrash says nothing can save me from Gehenna unless my son's going to say kaddish. O yafter benavi lechavod Hashem ba'avuri, or he's going to do the haftorah in the navi in my honor. In the honor to give glory to Hashem in my honor. Right, so he says, I know that if he does this, it's going to be a tremendous zechus and a protection for me. Right, and that's what he did. He told the guy's son. You should feel good about yourself because you made me feel good, right? Alzeh poshad aminig lomar bino shel meis kaddish basra kach shnei mosar chodesh and gam lahafter benavi right? So he says that this is where the minhag comes from, that they should say Kaddish for 12 months, and also to do the Haftorah, right? There are some people who have this minhag. I remember there was once a guy in camp. So he had the minhag, like this Kolbo, that he did the Haftorah every single Shabbos of his Avelus. Didn't lay in the Haftorah so quickly, so it was a little annoying. But Lamaisa, that was his minhag, and the truth is it has a source in the earliest of sources. So Lamaisa, it's not, you can't really argue if somebody wants to do it, unless there's another chiyuv. The Yeshim is Palin called Motzei Shabbat Tfilas Arvis, and the son davened for the Amud on Mariv on Motzei Shabbos. Lefishav Osa Shah Cholzun the Gehenna Marashayim Shishabaso Shishabsu B'Shabbos. Right, V'Efshar Shetogin Aleim Osa Tfilah V'Chein Yiratzon. Right, so this was a protection for them when they were daven for the Amud. Okay, so this is the source. These midrashim seem to be the source that not only is Kaddish a great thing to do stam, and it's a great way to hold up the world, and it's a great way to make Hashem want to bring back the Geula, but it's also a great zechus for a niftar, and this we find quoted in the Ramah in Hilchos Avelus, and he writes that this is it's a long piece in the Ramah. I only gave you the Ramah part of the Shulchan Aruch. It's a long sif in Shin Ayin Zayin Sif Dalid. V'nagu, it's the second line. V'nagu lomar al av v'al aim. V'av'aim kaddish basra yud beis chodesh v'chei nagu laftir v'navi l'spal arviz motzi shabasos, etc. etc. V'kshaben mispal v'kaddish barabim pode ave v'imo min ha'gehenim. Right, he quotes that kolbo that we just saw. V'nagu lomar kaddish al ha'aim afal pisha'av chayadayin, and he says you're supposed to say kaddish for your father, for your mother, even if your father's still alive. And Eino biyado limchos livno shalol yomer kaddish al imo. It says svaras abis Yosef al haminag. If I recall correctly, that was actually a big discussion in Hilchos Kibud Av Ve'Eim. Let's say your father doesn't want you to say kaddish for your mother, so is he allowed to demand that you not say kaddish? So the Beis Yosef there paskins no. He's not allowed to say that you're not allowed to say kaddish for your mother. The reason is that if your father tells you to violate the words of violate the Torah, you're not allowed to listen to him. So the question is this called a violation of the Torah? So I think it's the Beis Yosef, but it might have been somebody earlier. It might have been the Trumas Hadeshin. I don't know why, but I have in my head that the Trumas Hadeshin says this. But it might be Dafka the Beis Yosef, Miswar Dinashe says this. But that he says that it depends what kind of minhag we're talking about. If your father tells you to violate a minhag vatikin, like an old minhag that already dates back, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, so then it's considered like he's telling you to violate the Torah, and you're not allowed to listen to him. So Kaddish already, even Kaddish Yasom, which is much more recent than regular Kaddish, but even so, that's considered an old enough minhag that you're not supposed to listen to your father if he tells you don't say Kaddish for your mother. But if it would be a newer minhag, doesn't have such a great establishment in the sources, so then you would have to listen to your father. That wouldn't be considered violating the Torah. Okay, Lamaisa, that is the basic outline and sources for saying Kaddish. And it says over there, as you know, you say Kaddish for 12 months, although as the Shulchan Aruch also says, that you really only say Kaddish for 11 months. Why do you only say Kaddish for 11 months? Because the Gemara tells us that only the biggest of Rishayim go to Gehenim for a full 12 months. Everyone else goes to Gehenim for less than 12 months. So if you're going to say Kaddish for all of 12 months, that's a very big insult to your parents. Say that you were such a great Rasha that you're going to be in the full, you know, full-term Gehenim, you know, for 12 months, it's a little insulting. However, the poskim do point out that if it was well known, b'chol tfutzas Yisrael, that the parent was a tremendous Rasha, then you should say Kaddish for all 12 months. And it's not an embarrassment because everybody knows he was a Rasha. And similarly, let's say you know that your parent was a tremendous Rasha. By the way, I'm not talking about like what most kids think of their parents. I'm talking about actual Rishas. You know, say, Halavai, you know, I tell my students this all the time. I say, there's nobody who's a harsher critic of a parent than the child, and there's no one who's an easier critic of a child than themselves. So, you know, meaning children have this cheshbon that they say, like, oh, my parents, they're supposed to be perfect. So whenever they do this tiniest thing wrong, I call them out as hypocrites. But me, I expect nothing of myself, so maybe I'm never a hypocrite when I do the wrong thing. So I can expect nothing and produce nothing, and I'm way, way more ahead of the game than my parents. Just, it's always important to ask yourself the following question. If your parents were as bad as children often make them out to be, would they have any friends? Right? Pashas is not, but yet most of them do. So it's possible that we're being a little too harsh on our parents. And we should ease up a little bit. Maisa, it's important to keep that in mind. It's also one of the Ten Commandments. It's important to keep that in mind as well. So the bottom line here is that there is a mitzvah to... Oh, so if you knew that your parent was a tremendous rasha, but no one else knew, so perhaps you could go to a place where no one knows who you are, and nobody knows when the art site is, etc., and you could say Kaddish for that last month. But to do it in a place where people know, it's not so proper. Okay. Now, in terms of the amount of Kaddishes that we tend to say, it's a little excessive. I'll try to explain a little bit better as we go, but if you look in the Achronim, they talk about this a little bit. So if you look in the Maaser Rav, it's in the end of Hilchos Tefillah, so he writes, Achar Aleinu Shir Shel Yom, Kaddish Yasom. So the Gruz Shita was that you say one Kaddish, and it's not actually after Aleinu, it's after the Shir Shel Yom. The Ein Laharbos Bekaddishim Shelo Litzorech, right? And you're not supposed to say extra Kaddishes unless it's necessary, right? And then the Ein Omer, this is another sheet of the Gruz, Tam, Ein Omer Shum Mizmor Zulas Shir Shel Yom. You're not allowed to add any other Tehillim besides a Shir Shel Yom, Velo Shir HaYichud, Velo Shir HaKavod, Rak B'Yom Tov. And you don't say Anam Zmiros either, just on Yantif. And Gam Erosh Chodesh Elo Ad Yom Kippurim Ein Omrim Kapitol Kaf Zayin. Also, you don't say L'David Hashem Ori. The Gra was a staunch opponent of the more is more theory. He held less is more. And in general, the rule is you're allowed to say one Shir Shel Yom. You have to pick. He says if it's Chanukah, right? You got to say, if it's Chanukah, you just say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Zabayis. If it's Rosh Chodesh, and if it's Rosh Chodesh and Chanukah, you just say Baruch Hinafshi. If it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh Chanukah, I think you just say Mizmor Shir Leyom HaShabbos. That's it. You know, you don't get to say three Shir Shel Yoms that day. You have to only say one, right? But that was he held in general. You're not supposed to put Tirchos on the tzibur that they should have to say the whole sefer tehillim just because it's a yantif or something. So okay, nice. That's his shita, but in this case, it's ein laharbos bekadishim, and this is the shita of the Mishnah Berurah as well, and the Aruch HaShulchan. He points out over here. This is a quote from the Knesset Agdola, which is a early Achron, a commentary on the Torah. And this is a direct quote. I checked it out. Kasher tov l'mayit bebrachos, kach tov l'mayit bekadishim. Just as you're supposed to try to make as few brachos as possible, we have the concept of a bracha she'ein atzricha. You're not supposed to make extra brachos when you can make a bracha and be on the ikar and be motzi the tafil. You're not allowed to then, you can't take a piece of sushi and then turn it into, here's a piece of seaweed, that's bar pri adama, and here's a piece of rice, that's a mizonos, and here's a piece of fish, that's a shakel. You're not allowed to do that. You have to make a bracha. What bracha? Good question. Okay, but nice, you only make one bracha. You don't make three different brachos on every combination food just because you can. That's called bracha shein etzricha. So too, you're not supposed to be marbe bekadeshim shelo letzorech. Va'ayin ba'achronim shekaru tagar al zeh, he says, in fact, they get these people together just so they could say a Kaddish. They learn three words. They say a Kaddish. They learn another three words. They say another Kaddish. He says, that's not acceptable. All right, fine. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's addition to the Knesset Agdola. That last line was the Mishnah Berurah quoting from the Achronim. But similarly, the Aruch HaShulchan has a little bit of a diatribe about it. It says, Yesh mehamon bnei Yisrael shesom shem mitzvah laharbos bekadishim. There's a lot of people think you're supposed to say a lot of kaddishes. V'kama toim heim. V'kore ani aleim tishbachena avnei kodesh. Right? So he quotes, you never want to have a pasuk from Eicha quoted about you, except for Chasdei Hashem, Kilo San. The other pesukim in Eicha, you don't want them to be quoted about you. So he says, "Ve'in mishdamshin b'sharvito shel melech malchi amlech makadosh baruch hu rak kefi mashehir shosana." Says you don't take the scepter of God more often than you have permission to do it. Meaning, saying kaddish is a big deal. You don't just say lots of kaddishes for no reason. V'hamar be'bayem mezalzal b'hadras kodesh. Right, he's quoting the Chuvas Devar Shmuel, quoted in the Ber Hetev. umatishim koach kedushas Hashem. It's like almost like they're weakening the koach of the kedusha of God. Hashem agadol vanora. It's like you're weakening Hashem's name because you're making it too commonplace. V'lachein nevar kama kadishim yesh lomer betfilos apirusho shel kadish yisbor b'simin nunvav b'siyata d'shmai. So he says, all right, that's why I'm going to explain the whole thing and how many kadishes you're really supposed to say, etc. Okay, one last thing. I wanted to read you from this tshuva. I happen to be a very big fan of this sefer, as I mentioned in the past. Sefer Gevuros, Shals and Tshuvas Gevuros Elio from Rav Yosef Elio Henkin. Recently they've published now two new volumes of tshuvas from Rav Henkin. Most of these writings have been floating around, and people have seen them. So he has a beautiful chapter here. We won't read the whole chapter right now, but he has a beautiful biur on the idea of Kaddish. And I want to just maybe the next time we'll talk a little bit more about certain parts, of what he says. But Lamaisa, let's talk a little bit about this idea of how many kaddishes should be said and why we say so many if we're not supposed to say so many. Says the Umashe Somchem al Anemar b'Tikunei Zohar. He quotes the Tikunei Zohar. Shakadish poter shav v'chetzi. Oh no, you know what? Let me go back a little bit. Umuvan shayidei dibur levad. Just speaking, meaning just saying Kaddish, he just explained a couple of the basic themes of Kaddish. Just saying Kaddish alone, b'li maisim tovim, ein bazet toelis la nifter. This doesn't actually do any good to the nifter. V'lo kores ruach shalamala, ein kores ruach, elayidei maisim tovim, she'osim habanim, shebra mezaka avi. Quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that a son can make a zechus for the father. V'chein acherim, ki she'osim mitzvos, begramas ha'nifter, v'tzeh. You have to link the Kaddish to some good deeds that you're doing. He says that the better you do, the better acts you do, then the more pleasure you'll be giving to the nifter. The poskim write that it's bad to say too many Kaddishes. V'karu al zeh mikra, right, tishbachan avnei kodesh, b'rosh kol chutzos. Ki levat she'ein zeh kvot shamayim, akrivei anel lefech hasecha. It's not proper kavod to say Hashem's name so much. Hinei zeh moresh she'rotze lifter asmo rak v'amir zekai. So this is Rav Henkin's machadish, another reason why it's not good to say too many kaddishes, because it shows that you believe that saying kaddish is a special incantation, and if the more I say it, the better it is. Saying, no, that's not what it is. Right? It says you can't just patter yourself rak ba'amiras ha-kaddish. You can't just say kaddish. Ba'kaddish etzlam kein lachash bli kavana v'avana. It's just like an utterance, right? It's like an incantation. So that's not good. U'be'emes ha-kaddish hu rak tofel l'maisim tovim. It's supposed to be, you know, the maisim tovim is supposed to be the ikker, and kaddish is the tof. Masha somchal aner b'tikunei zohar. Right, so now he quotes the tikunei zohar. Shekadish poter shav v'chetzi begehenim hakavana l'emiras hakadish b'chlal v'lo al kol kadish v'kadish. Says the Zohar, whatever this means, says that 1.5 hours in Gehenim are pater from the kadish. He's saying that's on the concept of saying kadish. Not like every time you say a kadish, they get 1.5 hours off in Gehenim. Says v'hacheshbon shel shav v'chetzi u'balahoro shelo liftar atzmo rak b'kadish. The whole idea is that kadish will only save you from 1.5 hours. He says that's the pshat in the Tikkuni Zohar, that Kaddish will only get you 1.5 hours free out of 24 hours. But you need other good deeds to help as well. Okay, so I'm not going to go through the rest of the idea here of what's this, the pshat in the Tikkunei Zohar, but just going further, in terms of the halacha, he quotes, "Umavor b'tur b'shulchan aruch sharishonim amru b'tfila rak shiva kaddishim hashayachim l'tfila shlosha b'shachris shlosha b'mincha shlosha b'arvis." That originally the Rishonim said, right, so three kaddishes in shachris, two in mincha, and two in ma'ariv. Right, that was the kaddishes that were associated with the tfila. Right, so what are the three kaddishes we say in Shachris?
Before Yishtabach.
Right, before Yishtabach. And then, after. Between Tachanun and and Kiddusha de Sidra, Ashri Vol Tzion, and then we have Kaddish Teskabel at the end. Right? Those are three Kaddish to say in Shachris, and then Mincha we have right before Shmon Esrei and after Tachanun, and then we have by Marav we have the same, we have before Shmon Esrei and after Shmon Esrei. Right? Then, Ukishin Espashit, Inyan HaKaddish, Bein HaVeilim, then when they started saying Kaddish Yasom, Hosifu Kaddish Basra, Shel Aleinu Oshir Shel Yom. Right? He says there was one last Kaddish, meaning how many Kaddishim are Kaddish Yasoms are you supposed to say in one tefillah? The answer is one. Right? It's supposed to be one Kaddish. Not so partial. We do many, many more. It says, Masayim Shana Ha'achronos. In the last 200 years, Hinhigu Lomar Kaddish Gam Kodem HaTefillah Achara Korbanos O Achar Mizmar Shir Chanukah Shebes Hidur HaKodem Lo Nidfas V'lo Amru Klal. So he says, either they say Kaddish after Korbanos or after Mizmor Shir, which never existed in the earlier Siddurim. So that, this is Rav Henkin talking. This sounds like something I would say, but maybe that's why I like a sefer so much. But that's a new invention, saying Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. Nobody ever said that before. B'kadei sheyizdarzu lavo kodem atfila. He says, there's a very good reason for this Kaddish, because we want the Avelim to show up. And they, if they're going to tell the Avel, oh yeah, you just got to say Kaddish after Aleinu, he's going to be like, no, I'm going to go to a shul that says Kaddish after the Shir Shel Yom. I don't even want to get there that early. I want to wait till it's, if it's Wednesday, he'll wait another 30 seconds outside before he comes into the shul. So you don't want the guy to wait until the end of everything, so you want him in the shul so he can daven the whole time. As we said before, what's the whole yisod? The whole yisod is tshuva, tefillah, ma'asim tovim. So if the guy's not even going to come to shul, he's just going to say his special incantation, it's not going to work. So the whoever the people who instituted this new, you know, these new kaddishes at the beginning of davening, they had very good reason to do so. They had strong motivation. They knew people were going to come to say kaddish, and they therefore were misakin a kaddish at the beginning of davening. The Alpia Rambam ein lomar kaddish derabanan kishasor alom dim yachad az. Echad mehalom dim dafka ki shar bnei adam tzrichim litmoch b'talmud chacham b'matanish nikra gamkin brach. Or that's something else. Omer kaddish v'kaddish b'beglal alimut shalom de b'havana. V'lok she'omrim ezo mishna o agada b'li havana o rak b'glal kaddish shemar shekol atfila ino chas v'shalom l'chvod Hashem izbarach ala toelas amesim. He says, really, when you say kaddish d'rabbanan, you have to first learn something, and learn something means learn something. It doesn't mean say a mishnah. Right, you can't daven a Mishnah, believe it or not. This is a big machlokes in terms of can you daven psukim in general. When you daven psukim, so are you yotzei the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Let's say a bal korei, so not us, but I'm saying let's say a bar mitzvah boy is a bal korei. So you ask me, so a lot of times you'll quote a pause and say, oh, that's my bar mitzvah parsha. Okay, so what does it mean? Oh, what do you mean you don't know? You know the whole parsha by heart, you don't know what one word means? So the answer is yes. Right, so that they don't know. So is that a kiyum in Talmud Torah when you practice the laning but you don't know what it is? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav says, yeah, that's considered a kiyum of Talmud Torah. It's the lowest level of kiyum. But when you say the words of Tanakh, that is a low-level kiyum of Talmud Torah. However, when you say the words of Chazal, so the concept of Torah Shebut Chsav, right, that's called Mikra, because the actual Lashon of the words themselves have inherent value, and just saying the words is meaningful. But Mishnah is a Lashon of learning. So when you say the words of Mishnah, you say the words of Gemara, so then there's zero value to them because there's no text of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Say, what do you mean? We have Mishnah Brura, have a Gemara. See, that's not the real text of the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's just the best way for us to learn it. So we have Torah Shebaal Peh written down, but the real text of the Gemara, it's the concepts of the Torah Shebaal Peh. It's the concepts of the Gemara that constitute the real Torah Shebaal Peh, not the words. So if you just say the words of Ezel Makoman, that's not a kiyum of Talmud Torah at all, if you have no Havana of it. So he's saying, therefore, it's important, if you want to say Kaddish Derabanan, there have to be 10 people saying the words, and they know what they're talking about. And they have to be 10 people, quote unquote, learning together. Otherwise, it just looks like, you know, we're abandoning the whole learning part of it, and just so we can be mezakeh ourselves in a kaddish, that's not so good. Then he says, furthermore, milifnim rak echad yomer kaddish. One guy per shul, that was the minhag Ashkenaz. One guy per shul would say kaddish. Vim hayu avelim harbe, hayu magia l'kol echad kaddish echad liyamin. Right? So he says, okay. You would say, let's say there were 10 avelim in a shul. So each one would get, and there was only one Kaddish per day. So that's what it meant, by the way. We're talking about who has Kedimus to daven for the Amid. Why do we care? The answer is because that's the only guy in the whole shul saying Kaddish. that one guy getting that one kaddish. So therefore, it's a big chash of a thing to be able to daven for the amud, when, because that means that you're going to be zocha in the kaddish for your relative at that time. Mishum darkei shalom hosifu mizmorim. So okay, mishum darkei shalom, they added more prakim, so there could be more kaddishes. So now we could say we could get a few, be mezaka a few extra people, so that guy could daven for the amud. You know, a little bit over here, he could get a kaddish, then somebody else could take over, he could get a kaddish. V'achar kach b'me'achrona, and then this century, na'agu lomar kaddish har b'nei adam yachad. We adopted what was always the minig Sfard, but the minig Ashkenaz became that many people would say kaddish together. U'me'me'la ein hagun shekol echad yomar kama kaddishim. So from that, it's not really proper that everybody should say a bunch of kaddishes, meaning we only put a lot of kaddishes into the davening so that everyone would get one. But now that everyone's saying them anyway, so then why should everybody say more kaddishes? V'afilu yortzeit, dai lo b'kaddish echad. Really, if you just have a yortzeit, it's enough to say one kaddish. Rosh Chodesh v'chanukah ve'elo shemosiv in mizmorim, yesh lomar kaddish echad al kol ha'mizmorim. Really, the way to go is you have, like we said before, you have shir shel yom and mizmor shir chanukah zabayez and baruch hinashi. So definitely you only want to say one kaddish after all three. You go to some shuls, you get, that's three kaddishes right there. You go to, it's, you know, you get Shir Shel Yom, Kaddish, Mizmor Shir, Kaddish, Baruch Hinashi, Kaddish. I did out of order there. But you get a Kaddish after every single one. He says, that's not right. That's already, that's too much. L'cheinu besid, fine. It says, V'm over l'fnei ha-teva, v'yaniach ha-kaddish basra, v'shel kodam ha-tfilo ha-cherim, right? And if you're the real Shlich Tzibur, so then you should let other people do the early Kaddish and the late Kaddish. V'tachas l'harbos be-kaddishim, yarbe be-limud v'tztaka. Instead of saying lots of Kaddishes, you should do lots of learning and giving tzedakah. If you just abandon, if you ignore the main point, which is Torah Ma'asim Tovim, Yitfos Rak B'Tafel, Ein Kan Kores Ruach L'Niftarim Klal. That doesn't do the nifter any good. Okay, so based on this, I'll just give you one more halacha from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe has this idea that, let's say, in the old days, sometimes people couldn't come to shul, so they would hire somebody to say Kaddish for them. Right? You ever heard of such a thing? They pay somebody to say Kaddish. It happens all the time. So Rav Moshe said, this guy, let's say the old-time shul, they had a shamus. Right? So the shamus would say Kaddish for a bunch of people. So how many people could he say Kaddish for? So Rav Moshe said, well, technically, me'ikar adin, the ovel is supposed to only say one Kaddish per day. Right? He says one Kaddish per tefillah max. But even so, like if there would be, you know, three avelim in a shul, there'd be one kaddish yasam in the morning, one kaddish yasam in the afternoon, one kaddish yasam at night. So he said, but nowadays that we say, you know, a kaddish derabanan and a kaddish yasam, and then two kaddish yasams at the end, so you could really collect money for four different people per shachris. I don't know if he says three or four, but definitely three per shachris. You could collect, so you can end up saying kaddish for a number of people because there's technically one kaddish for each person to go around. So one other nekuda, that's, so you say, well, what's the big deal? So what's the big deal? Why should we care if the whole olam is saying Kaddish together? So, I mean, first of all, you have to ask yourself, well, why couldn't the Doros HaRishonim have thought of this? It's not a hard thing to think of. In fact, the Sfardim had already thought of it. But why didn't Ashkenazim used to do it that way? So the Pashtus is because what's the whole zechus of the Kaddish? The whole zechus of the Kaddish is that you said the words, and because of you, everyone said Yehesh Miraba. In other words, you were the reason to be goreim, everybody say Yehesh Miraba. Now, if they have 10 people in the shul saying Kaddish at the same time, were you really the reason to be goreim, anybody say Yehesh Miraba? I don't know. I mean, yes, but also not so much. You know, so it's a little bit of a watered down version of the kiyum of what it means to say the Kaddish. So therefore, it's a little bit weak in the sense that you're not getting the same zechus that you would have had you been the only, and it seems like we held that it was worth it for you to say fewer authentic Kaddishes than it is to say more not so authentic Kaddishes. You know, nevertheless, there is a huge factor that the Chachamim of our time considered, which was, you know, if we say that the ikar of the Kaddish is the tshuva and the Ma'asim Tovim, a lot of tshuva and a lot of Ma'asim Tovim have come about because of this new minhag that everyone says Kaddish. Because people find their way into a shul. You know, my wife told me, I didn't even know this, about somebody I know, that I'm not going to say he didn't used to come to shul. He came to shul plenty. But his father recently was nifter, and his mother apparently remarked that if my husband knew that how meticulous his boy, my boys would be about coming to shul on time and saying Kaddish, he would have died a long time ago. He said, if he knew what effect it would have had on his sons, he would have done something about it years ago. So Lamaisa, I think she's just joking, but nevertheless, we know it's true that people take it very, very seriously. There are people who were not so makbid on going to minyan, and then they say Kaddish, they will not miss a minyan for anything. There's a lot of guilt in there. People weren't as good to their parents maybe as they should have been during their parents' lifetime, so they at least want to be good to their parents after their parents are gone. So, and there's a lot of guilt, and that's good. It's a good kind of guilt. It's the motivating kind of guilt, right? Not that you shouldn't sit up at night worrying about it, but you should, be mizaris yourself to try to make it to a minyan as often as possible to say the Kaddish. Okay, so there's a lot more to say, a lot of different variables that come out of it, so maybe we'll have time to discuss some of the other halachos. But I think with this foundation, we can understand a lot of them.